Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and I would like to welcome you once again to the manga library. And it looks like I have somebody sitting next to me, and it's Robert. I'm about to laugh. I'm gonna laugh. I'm ready. I hate to put that expectation on you, but you always make me laugh.
I'm glad. No pressure on me. No pressure.
So we're talking about Frozen 2, the manga, because apparently they thought it would be a good idea to make a Frozen 2 manga. But seeing as it's my favorite Disney film, barring Hercules, I'm not mad about it.
I respect them for any way they want to make money. You know it. Get it while you can.
Yeah, and this wasn't one of those weird Tokyo Pop things they have, like the Nightmare Before Christmas with all of its comic-ology or whatever. Like, this is actually through Viz Media, and I'm like, this is great. Well, for what it is.
Which, not to sidetrack, I just recently learned, apparently Nightmare Before Christmas has a prequel, a postquel, has side stories that are all official and everything that I have no idea existed until a couple days ago scrolling through social media.
You know, you just said it and I still don't know.
Apparently they have some books and everything that expand the lore.
What lore? It's... Nope. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. It's a silly little movie that I enjoy and will watch once or twice a year. I'm leaving it at that.
That's fair.
Unlike Frozen 2, which I watch like 3 times every year.
I have watched it my share. I think when the movie came out, I think I saw it 3 times in the first week it came out.
It's that good. As a Disney adult, it really is that good. Like, how do you enhance everything that made the first movie good and just make it better?
They really did a great job of expanding on the characters, the animation, the music. And I love the first one. I don't know what history you have with it. I will say the first time I saw it, I liked Frozen, the original. And then it was just so prominent in the zeitgeist and so omnipresent. The more I kind of watched it and the more I was around it, the more I enjoyed it. So when Frozen 2 came out, I definitely was hyped, and then it just blew all my expectations out of the water.
I agree. I actually saw Frozen for the first time in my junior or senior year of high school, so it was 2014, 2015. I had a teacher who I used to hang out with outside of class because she wasn't my teacher anymore. A few of us did. And she just put on Frozen, I guess because she had a toddler daughter at that time. And I had never seen it. I didn't go to the theater to watch it. I didn't know what Frozen was. I don't curse on here anymore, but let me tell you, I watched that whole movie during the school day, and then it got to the part with Hans, and I said, "You no good motherfucker. Fucking bastard, how dare you do that to my girl? She did not do anything to hurt you, and this is what you do?" And they're all laughing at me. I'm like, shut up, y'all. Y'all ain't shit, because let me tell you something. She did not deserve that. Anna did not deserve what she got in that movie, but congratulations. You know, the power of sisterhood of the traveling pants, what have you, whatever. But I cursed that TV out that day.
You would have to leave a trail of bread, not just the crumbs, to get me to pick up on a plot twist that's coming. And I will admit, I was generally shocked when it happened. Yes. And maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe as an adult, I should have figured it out. But I was just watching the movie, having a good time, and then bam, it got me.
No, because it came out of nowhere. There was nothing. There was nothing to set you up for what was going to happen. That is the ultimate twist villain. No, there were no crumbs. There were no loaves. You didn't get a croissant. You didn't get a brioche bun. You didn't get anything. He just ends up being evil. And it's terrible. It's terrible. I was so upset with him. I was so upset. And next thing I knew, it was 2019. I'm 22 years old. My mom is coming to visit me because I'm living in Asheville, North Carolina. She's visiting me for Thanksgiving. And she says, "Boy, what do you want to do?" And I said, "You saw Frozen 2 with my father when he was alive, correct?" And she's like, "Yes, I saw Frozen with your father when he was alive." I said, "Well, let's watch Frozen 2. There's this thing called RPX at Regal, and it's supposed to be amazing." So we went, and I don't know about you, but when I go to kids' movies, which I'm 26 years old and I am still a child, but I'm a child who can say that I don't like dealing with badass kids. Let me tell you, to this day, that is the best cinematic experience I've ever had, because RPX is a bigger screen, the sound is immaculate, and they're all the badass kids were not badass kids. They were good children. They appreciated this masterclass of cinema. That was the best Thanksgiving in my entire life, because I got to watch Frozen 2 with my mom in that theater with all of these respectful children. They laughed when they were supposed to laugh. They cried when they were supposed to cry, but they weren't obnoxious. There was no "Mama," which I'll have to be like, "Silence your child."
I don't remember anything about watching the movie other than just watching it. And I know there had to be kids. Maybe there were kids screaming. Maybe there were kids fighting. Maybe there was a brawl in the theater. I don't remember anything but just watching the movie. And that is either a testament to me being enthralled by it, or maybe people truly were just behaved around me, because I've been in some unruly situations with children.
I was going to say, you live in Florida, so isn't all that just like stuff you would be used to?
You know, there's only so much you can get used to. Fair. I will say, we had an adventure recently with a family friend who came down, and their child was so well behaved, and they apologized to me for their child's behavior, and I was just shocked after I had seen so many kids running up walls, punching other kids, licking the ceiling. I was like, this is truly nothing compared to what I usually see.
And that's actually, that's one of my problems with children. How does a child get on the ceiling? Only children have the superpowers to do things like that. Not only to be able to get on the ceiling, but have the cognitive dissonance to say, "I am going to lick this ceiling and think nothing of it. And when I am 30 years old, I will reflect upon this moment and either feel everything or feel nothing while I'm in my jail cell."
Every time I see, not necessarily a child though misbehaving, but a teen misbehaving, I'll say that, I just know it's, you know, karma coming back for me, how I behaved when I was 16 and my parents left us alone and we ran amok into TGI Fridays or whatever. So some of it is coming to me.
Actually, I'm going to tell you a story. We're already off track, but it's fine, because that's what happens when we talk about when you're a Disney adult, you just get off track. I went to Disney a little while ago, and you know how like they have to take pictures before you enter the park? I was just going on about my merry way. I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to meet my pal Mickey Mouse and have a good old adventure." I'm trying to wait in line to get my picture taken. There's this guy, he's getting really angry about having to get his picture taken. And I'm like, I wanted to say so bad, "Sir, you're not even unphotogenic. Like, you're not an ugly guy. You know, you actually look half decent. Like, you dressed like a normal park goer. You didn't dress up to go to a ball. Just take the picture so that people can go into the park. Man, look, I'll ride a ride with you. You know, we can go to the Haunted Mansion together. I just want to get in."
You know, anytime I read privacy policies, privacy use, you know, biometric, anything like that, it does not bother me until I truly think about it for a moment, and then it terrifies me. And then I just go on with my day. Because listen, anywhere already has photos of me. I put my stuff on social media. I'm out there for the world to see, the world to find. There's no getting away from it. Unless you're living in the bushes without a cell phone, all that information's out there already. You've willingly given it up 100 times at that point.
I mean, look, there is video footage of me at a place where I used to work selling chocolate body paint to white strangers and them asking me if I wanted to come home with them. The bar for me is very low, Robert. So I will gladly just get the damn picture taken so I can go inside the park.
Just go see Mickey.
I want to go see Anna Mickey. And Elsa. And it was, and guess what? When I went in, it was Kingdom Hearts Mickey.
Even better.
And he was so nice, and Donald Duck was next to him. Goofy had just left, probably so he could go do what he always does with Mickey Mouse's wife. But Donald is there, and I'm like, hi, Donald. And Donald is getting angry, and I'm like, well, I have anger issues too, so we can go at it right now. And then he calmed right down, and we took some nice pictures together. I'll send them to you later.
It's good you didn't get in a fight, because you know Donald wasn't going to heal you. He was just going to run around.
Well, he doesn't do a good job of healing anyway, and it's until like Kingdom Hearts 3. Oh, the magic of Disney. Speaking of the magic of Disney, this manga is actually a pretty decent adaptation of the movie.
It walks that fine line of doing just enough different and staying to the story that it made me happy. Like, part of me wanted them to change everything, but part of me wanted them to keep everything the same. But some of the details they throw in, the way they modified it, some of the more traditional manga facial expressions and reactions to scenarios, I truly appreciated.
It seemed like the mangaka behind this, at least from an art perspective, was kind of like the creator. She was like a mix of the creator of Sailor Moon's art style and the creator of Nana's art style. I really picked up heavily on those two, and I think she blended those very well, but she made them her own.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, hold on. I have the book right here. I'm going to say her name because she deserves credit for this. Okay, so her name is Arina Tanemura. And I love, like, I'm just holding this, I feel happy. Like, look at her. Oh, and you're holding yours up too.
I truly... Oh, wait, where'd I go? I thought I had the page saved. Clearly not. Oh, wait, here we go. Truly, the little chibi characters. I mean, come on. So adorable.
Oh, yeah. And everything they did with Matthias was hilarious. He was one of my favorite parts of Frozen 2. So seeing him adapted. At first, I was like, do I like his lips? And then I was like, I had to look at Matthias in the movie. I'm like, I think I'm okay with his lips.
I feel like he and the matriarch of the forest.
Yeah.
I feel like they blended a little better in the manga. It means because I was used to them as well. You know, I feel like the first time, as much as I love the story, it was a little random that they pop up out of nowhere. But they seemed a little more natural in the story.
This is true. Yeah, what I like is I feel like Tanemura had a lot more maybe liberty and a lot less space, because you're not going to get, you know, multiple volumes to adapt this one film, even though the film is, I believe, almost 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So she adapted that entire almost 2 hour long movie in, I think, less than 300 pages.
And really well, it doesn't feel like anything's missing out from the pieces of it that go in there.
Right, you really do get the essentials, and what I was worried about going in is because the animation was so upped from last time. I mean, I 100% think that in terms of 3D animation, Disney peaked at Frozen 2. I mean,
I think it's fair.
I'm not saying Encanto was bad, and I'm not saying that, Wish is the worst thing out there, but in terms of the quality of animation, Disney peaked with Frozen 2, like in CG 3D. And there's so many little details, whether it be gestures or little snide remarks that characters make here and there. She is able to make her own because there are some things that don't translate from film to page, which, when you think about it, more times than not, we're adapting from page to film. So she really did have a difficult job of trying to make this her own while still acknowledging that it is Frozen.
I think she finds, probably naturally to what you're saying, different highs than what I ex enjoyed in the movie, right? For me, one of the best scenes is when they get the water out of the ship. And how it comes out, the graphics on the water, and it shows the king and queen in their final moments. Like, what a beautiful moment. But then in a page version of it, did I find that the most magical? No.
No.
But some of the scenes where they just show Elsa or Anna's faces, their reactions, the stoic looks, Elsa's transformation to the fifth element. Is that right? That sounds,
Yeah,
you know what I
you're
mean.
yeah, you're I mean you're technically correct.
Those scenes really popped and stood out, you know. So it, I think the places that it really shines are a little different, but that's great because you can enjoy another piece of the same story, another version of the story, if you will.
I suppose it feels more intimate. Like, because she has so much to work with. And she's highlighting. This is basically a highlight reel of Frozen 2. And she says, well, and to your point, yes, some of the quieter moments, some of the expressions that we get, I think in the movie, they work very well because you have all of these moving parts in the forefront and the background. But with the manga, a single panel is only focusing on, say, Anna and Elsa and their faces after reacting to a situation. And especially in the maybe last few pages of the book, you know how there's that acknowledgement between the two of them of, oh, we're always going to be sisters, we're always going to be together in one way or another, even if we're not living in the same place, and how the anime, not anime, how the film ended with Elsa just riding off on her horse, which, I mean, pop off queen, that was one heck of a way to end a movie. I'm going to find this page for reference. So that is actually exactly how that's exactly how the last page of the manga is, but the page before that, it says Anna is there, Elsa is there. Even though we have our own roles, we still see each other often. We are still family. Together, the bridge between our world shines brightly. Thoughts become memories and flow in the water, returning to Atohalan. In these waters, the history of our worlds will continue to flow and the memories will remain. And while you have Elsa on that horse, you also have Anna on the other side in her coronation scene. But you just get this contrast between the two of them with Elsa on the bottom left, of one page and Anna on the upper right of the other. Two sisters, one mind. Like, what it seems like they brought that back. Like, they are always going to be together. And I really love that little touch.
I think it drives that point home in a wonderful way. Being able to have like a split screen, which is not as beautiful in this kind of an animated format or a movie format, right? If you just split down the middle and have the two of them side by side, there's ways to do it, and movies have done it, but it is more challenging. We're seeing it panel by panel is wonderful. And then the last panel, as you mentioned, is not the two of them together, but it's also neither character. It's Otto Holland in the water in some words, but it doesn't, the last image you see of the two of them is together apart.
Mm-hmm. I did look. Apparently the last one is just her writing off, and I'm like, it doesn't count. I don't think that counts. The last one for me in my heart is the two of them. Which,
oh yeah, I didn't even pay attention that she's in there in the water.
I know, it's because that's exactly how the movie ends, but it just, that last page, I think, works. But then that is a cold final page with For Eternity. That's that was pretty sick. But the page before that carries more meaning to me.
Yeah.
And that's something, like you said, you don't get in a film. So being able to have this manga medium to adapt this story is great. And I'll tell you, I am someone who listens to and belts Disney music in the shower. And I was doing that for Frozen 2 before we met this evening. And oh my God, I love how they adapted music into this, because I thought that was going to be impossible.
It fits well, but boy, did it really mess with my brain trying to read words that I want to sing and fighting that urge to force the words into a melody or force the tune onto words.
Well, do you know what she did, though, that I was like, you are a brilliant monster for this. The words are shuffled around to where they still make sense, but they're not the exact lyrics that Kristen Lopez made. And I was so upset because I'm thinking, you know, you are the answer I've waited for. And I'm like, wait, that's not what this is saying. So then I have to read it again because I want to be accurate when I'm talking about this to you. But then I go back and I sing the song in the shower, and now I forget what's in here. But all I know is I was upset because it wasn't the exact same thing, but that is also her way of making it her own. And it's genius. She is genius for that.
It truly allows you to, or forces you, maybe is a better way, to go, like you said, into her story, into this version, as opposed to not paying attention to the words and just going back to sing either what you know are the lyrics or what you have forced in your head to be the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. See, my family has a term for what happened. We were mind slapped.
Mind slapped?
Mind slapped.
By the book and the lyrics?
Yes, we were mind slapped by Tanimura for what she did with the lyrics. And I'm not mad, nor am I disappointed. Actually, you know how people are always like, oh, well, when I'm at work, I enjoy a healthy challenge to help me grow and prosper. That was this for me.
I enjoy it in places more than others. And I think part of it is just the love of certain songs. Into the Unknown didn't bother me as much. And I don't say bothered in a bad way, but I was indifferent to Into the Unknown. But Show Yourself, I just love that song so much.
Oh, yes.
That my head just wanted to sing that. The opening song, Something's Changed.
Something's
Again, like changed, it took a little moment to get used to, oh, this is going to be different. But then it flows. Show Yourself is where I probably struggled the most.
almost had an aneurysm with Show Yourself, because that is my favorite song. So I was like, why? Okay. All right. This is fine. Go off, Tanimoto Sensei. You do you. And I support it because you did an amazing job. And at first I thought, and this is something that I really wanted to dive into, if you're okay with switching the subject to the art style. Yeah. So something that's really been on my mind when it comes to these 3D Disney movies, when they try to make merchandise and they try to draw it in a 2D style, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't, I think Frozen translates fairly well, but I don't know if they really know how to do that with the American marketing, you know, when they put Anna and Elsa on blankets and pail buckets and water bottles. So having this manga interpretation, believe it or not, that actually took me even longer to get used to. But I thought, if there is a 2D version of these characters, because mind you, you know, you have like manga to anime, and you have comics that become real, or, you know, get, you know, with your DC and your Marvel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is actually a really great take on the Frozen characters in a 2D space, because they really haven't been tackled in this way, at least in the same regard as something like the Princess and the Frog or the aforementioned Hercules. So really the sky is the limit for how you can interpret characters like this, because all we're stuck with is 3D animation, because in my opinion, Disney are a bunch of cowards for abandoning traditional 2D hand-drawn animation. But luckily, it gets us stuff like this.
I think the interpretation they give us in the Frozen manga was easy to connect, because there's this library of references, like you mentioned with Sailor Moon, that are in other anime, not just to call it one, mm-hmm. but like there's a connection to it, like a grounding to it. Whereas when you just see Anna or Elsa in a 2D format, yeah, there's other Disney films, but it weirdly feels out of place. And maybe that's because they are traditionally not done in that style. Whereas mm-hmm. this seemed easier to adapt to me than other times I've seen them animated, other than like storyboard sketches or things like that.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
I'd love to see what they gave as a reference and how much back and forth occurred between yes to this, no to this, hair down always, hair up, in your eyes, not in your eyes. I really wonder how much freedom was given or taken or allowed, or if it was just kind of a natural process once the drawing started.
I am curious as well, because when I look at this, like I said, it did take me a little bit of time to get used to before I called this the definitive 2D versions of all of the Frozen characters, because uncanny isn't the right word, but I guess, of course, when you're translating something, I mean, to an entire different medium, not just to comics, but to manga specifically. I think she was, and I can't speak because, of course, I wasn't in that room when all of these changes were being made, but it seems like she was given a lot of creative liberty, because if you look at the film and you look at the manga, I mean, the lack of makeup for a lot of them, the lack of blush, I mean, they really did some toning down for these characters in some ways that in turn actually ended up amplifying one, their defining traits, and two, who they are as characters, because we have to pay more attention, because we're like, okay, I know this character, I recognize them, what's the same, what's different? And then we get these touches, like what you were talking about earlier, with expressions and interactions, and we get oddly more fleshed out characters than I could have ever possibly imagined.
It becomes that when I did theater, to go back to my former self, there was a lot of conversation of doing theater and scenic design of just how much do you need to show to tell somebody something. And to your point, like, what do you really need to say Elsa? The braid is probably the biggest part of Elsa. So when you give her, I'm sure there's a proper term for this that I'm not going to use, but a chibi-fied face, or you give her two lines for eyes to express an emotion, and that braid stays, or in her, the bigger shoulder pads of most of her outfits, her queenly presence or something, it tells you Elsa without having to go through all these details or textures that you would do in the 3D animation to give us that character, which is really kind of fascinating to see the, her do. And it still, like you said, conveys the character, but puts that emotion on forefront because you can't see the movement or the change in face, you know?
And somehow giving a voice, like when I'm reading this, my first instinct is, okay, Idina Menzel, obviously. But as I continue reading, it's almost as if this character or this interpretation of this character has her own voice, especially because I know she's technically not singing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how things are worded here and there, this feels like an entirely different Elsa. And I hear an entirely different voice based on exactly what you're saying.
I didn't think about that when I was reading it, but I definitely did not, other than the singing, which I want to do, didn't put a voice in on them. Where a lot of times, if I'm reading or struggling to read, I'll kind of read out loud and I will give, you know, the king a character voice or something in my head. And I find myself not doing that, but I also didn't connect them to Idina Menzel or Kristen Bell, right? Mm-hmm. As I doubt myself, you know, I didn't hear this. It's interesting. That's what I have to say about that, I guess, is I didn't really think about it, but I did not try to put their voices in there for whatever reason.
I think that just speaks to the sense of self, seems like a weird term to use for a manga character. But I mean, they're given entirely new yet similar identities. And I love that about this interpretation. I love that they all grew in Frozen 2 from Frozen 1, but there's still enough parallels and differences to warrant this manga being made. Because, I mean, it is a bit weird, but it's extremely enjoyable. Like, I won't say this is the greatest manga of all time, but for what it is, it's actually quite incredible what she was able to do with this existing property. And I mean, I didn't cry like I do every time I watch Frozen 2, but I felt very strongly, very positively, like, oh, my day is actually getting better as I'm reading this.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I'm done with it, I'm having a good day.
I would recommend it to somebody. I would give it to somebody to read. It is enjoyable. I don't know if I'd say standalone. Like, if there was no Frozen 1, would I care about this one story? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't. But
with the context of the world and everything. And if they did more stories, and again, make that money. Please make it enjoyable. I know they're talking about making a third and fourth movie. They have other books. I read one of the other books. But if they did an expanded couple volumes of a spinoff of their adventures in the forest, I'd read it, I'd buy it, I'd pick it up.
Same. I'm not sure how I feel about that third and fourth movie, though. I may be a little or a lot upset about it because Frozen 2 kind of ended perfectly.
I can give myself a third movie. I feel like a trilogy is a nice round, not unround, you know what I mean? Find a conclusion place to it. I guess you do that with a third and fourth. But I don't know. Well, I'll be excited when it comes out. You won't be able to hear me. I'll talk about it for months when they finally release the trailer 5 years down the road.
I mean, I'm still gonna watch it, don't get me wrong. I'm like people who hate I'm like people who hate GTA 5 and will talk so much smack about it, but they'll be like, well, what you think I'm not gonna play GTA 6 just because I think that the writing in GTA 5 is bad? Like, no, I'm still. So it's like, even though I'm very critical of Disney and their decision to make a Frozen 3, doesn't mean I'm not going to watch it. Those songs are probably going to be amazing. Come on. No, got to watch it.
It's if like, you're jonesing for more,
yes,
there's two books. One of them I read, one of them I haven't. I want to say that the first book that came out, and I can send you the name of it, a magic wolf appears, and it's what if Elsa never separated from Anna. They kind of relive some of the story. It's wild, but honestly, I enjoyed every minute, every page. I had a good time.
Well, all right then. I will say the only thing that can look, there's not that much they can do with the third movie. I'm sorry. The only things I can think of are give Elsa a girlfriend and just like make, I don't know, give Anna a kid, even though she really doesn't need one.
They can have kids if they leave the kids at home. I don't need a story about them running after some kids who are just like them and want to go on adventure. That plot we can leave behind. But if they have a happy bundle of babies and then they leave them at home for the adventure, I'm all for it.
But I guarantee you, just because I know how Disney works, Matthias is going to be the one taking care of them.
Oh,
you made your comment about back of the ship with Zorro. I can have this one. I never forgot that conversation.
I'm glad something stays with you.
Something did stay with me. This is mine.
I wish I would expect something else from them, but I can see it.
And that would ruin Frozen for me. I would not. I would not get the Frozen 3 storybook. Storyboard book. It's one of the best gifts my mom ever gave me. I love it.
I think we all know if there's another story, though, one's going to be focused on spring and one's going to be focused on summer, right? Like, that's where we're going.
What, are they going to kill Olaf?
They'll find another little flurry, another little permafrost for him.
There's like, what, Frozen 4? Frick, it's hot.
Oh, they missed the chance to do, was it Frozen Too Fast, Too Hot? They missed that chance.
Oh my god, Frozen Too Hot, Volcano Menu is back at Taco Bell, sponsored by Paris Hilton.
With the Denny's menu tie-in.
Yes. I went to a Denny's once. I walked in, I looked around, and then I left.
I've been to a few. I will say the one near us is the one that ends up on the news more often than it should. And maybe because more things happen there than they should, or maybe people just like to talk about it. But it feels like every couple of months there's some activity, we'll say, that happens there.
Frozen 3, Grand Slam.
I think at least with the second book or movie, we've cut out the option of Anna getting powers. So that's a win for me.
I'm so happy about that, because if that child got powers, the world would be doomed.
Oh, the child could get powers. That's a good point. I think if they're listening, you just gave them two ideas.
And I will make no money off of it.
No.
It'd be all right. I mean, it'd be all right if Idina Menzel just, you know, called me, took me out on a date. We have the same birthday.
Fair trade.
We have the same birthday. I think she's only like twice my age. We can make it work.
Stranger things have happened.
It's not that
strange. Put it out into the universe.
It's not that strange, Robert. How old is Idina Menzel? Idina Menzel is 52, so she's literally twice my age. And she's born on May 30th. I've always said she is like a very handsome woman.
You can have her sing lullabies to you. She can.
I mean, look,
sing Frozen 2 lullaby.
I was gonna say, yeah, she sings me a Frozen 2 lullaby while I'm sleeping on a stack of money. Like, come on.
Wrap a little shawl around you.
She can tell me about Rent, which is a play and the thing that I'll never have to pay again.
Still be a fairy tale for you hearing it then.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm Frozen 3. I'm Frozen 5.
Are we going to see some insert fanfic of you and Elsa getting together?
No, because I'm going to be too busy snuggled up with Idina Menzel. Ask my mom. I'll get on the phone with her like at least once every 3 months. I mention getting with Idina Menzel, and she's like, "Boy, she's too old for you." And I'm like, "I don't care. I don't care."
On one of my top listed songs for the year, "Love Power" came up from Disenchanted.
I love that for you. When this is actually being recorded in December of 2023, my Spotify Wrapped just came up, and I think my number one most listened to artist was Mitski, and I saw my Spotify Wrapped in front of my coworkers. They saw it and immediately asked me if I was okay.
That's when you gotta open the privacy of your own home at first, just to make sure that your Wrapped list is acceptable for public viewing.
I should have, but it just became available that day. I'm very upset. Whatever. I don't even care. Well, Robert, do you have anything else that you want to say about Frozen 2, the manga?
I enjoyed it. I wasn't sure what to expect. I think it's worth checking out. It's worth getting if somebody hasn't. Not that I'm getting paid for promoting it, but I liked it. I thought it was fun. I'm glad to put it on my shelf next to my other books. I don't know if it'll go with the manga or go with my Frozen stuff, but who knows?
I actually did put it with my manga instead of my Frozen stuff, but now I'm reconsidering. But I also really love this. I would recommend anybody and everyone give it a read if you're a fan of Frozen, especially Frozen 2. Tanemura-sensei, you did a fantastic job. If you ever listen to this, thank you for bringing some of my favorite characters to the manga space. You are phenomenal. This is a phenomenal book. And yes, just thank you. So, with that being said, if you want to follow Robert, you can do so on Instagram at Otakura Style. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Check us out. We watch different shows. I've been currently working my way through a rewatch of Sailor Moon S, and then rewatching Digimon for the first time since I was 15 when it came out. I don't know. That's probably younger than I actually was when it came out.
Did you finish your Princess Tutu rewatch or watch through?
No, I haven't. I really, when it hit the fever pitch, I think at the end of like the first season, I was going really good, and then I kind of dipped back off, but I need to get back into it.
I was
going to
say, it's my second favorite anime of all time. I would recommend that you continue, because I love it.
In this coming weeks, when I have a little more time, I think I'll be able to catch up on a few things. Nice. I've actually really enjoyed Marmalade Boy as well, more than I probably should have.
I was going
to
say, for that's a
40-year-old adult.
That is just like drama, isn't it?
It is, and it's so, it's like CW level drama, but stop. I am so here for it, except for the teacher trying to date the student. That one, not here for, grosses me out, but everything else, 100% here for.
That's like early Urusei Yatsura. Just now I'm upset. Anyway, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. And if you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider donating to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And also, please consider joining the Discord server. We have a lot of fun people in there, and it's quite a lovely and lively place. And with that being said, thank you for listening. Robert, thank you again for joining, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And with that being said, we are out.